الحمد لله، الحمد لله الكبير المتعال، أمرنا بأحسن الأعمال، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وقال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. والصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praises, all shukr, all gratitude, and all glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, the one who nourishes us and provides guidance through his beloved Quran and beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We all bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is indeed his beloved and most praised and elevated messenger. And we send peace and blessings upon his noble and prestigious and purified family and the companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, on this glorious, magnificent, and beautiful and blessed day of Jumu'ah, we have gathered to magnify the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen our bonds, to connect our hearts, and to submit ourselves and our souls and our ego to the oneness and the majestic being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering, our participation, our listening, and our sincere intentions and efforts, and make it a means for our success and salvation in this dunya, and more importantly in the hereafter. InshaAllah, today we have two aspects to the Jumu'ah speech. First and foremost, I want to dedicate the first quarter of the Jumu'ah speech to the beloved uncle of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, for this is the month within which he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib was the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he was known as a very fearless warrior, a person who was not scared of any tribe, any particular individual. He stood up for justice and haqq. He was a man of integrity, and he fought alongside the Muslims and against all of those who oppressed Islam and the Muslims, and all of those people who used violence and intimidation against the Muslims. And his martyrdom, when he became a shaheed, brought peace to the Muslims, especially in the battle of Uhud, because this is when a verse of the Quran was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to how Muslims must conduct themselves even at times of war, maintain the integrity and the sanctity of humanity. So what does Hamza actually mean? It means the one who is strong and the one who is steadfast. It is the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's uncle, and when he converted, as a result of his conversion, it brought a huge amount of strength and dignity and safety to the Muslim Ummah at that particular time. So there are certain people in our community, within our homes, within the Ummah, when they do something, just their presence or just their being or their efforts can collectively benefit the entirety. And this is why you should never shy away from doing something, because you may have a particular talent or ability that not just benefits those that are immediately in front of you, but may benefit the wider ummah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And when Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an was martyred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed one of these verses in which he was teaching the ummah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on how to conduct themselves even at the times of wars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dalla 'an sabilihi wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin wa in 'aqabtum fa'aqibu bimithli ma 'uqibtum bih wa la in sabartum lahuwa khayrul lis sabirin wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billahi wa la tahzan 'alayhim wa la taku fi dayqin mimma yamkurun innallaha ma'al ladhina taqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun." That call mankind, call humanity to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom and with sound advice, with your ability, with your experience, with your understanding of the community, with the understanding of the language and the culture and the surroundings that you are in, i.e. in a contextual and appropriate manner, and reason with them in a well-mannered way. So you don't need to shout and scream and threaten and do any of these things, but rather in a comprehensive manner, in a manner which is well suited to the Muslim Ummah, especially to the maqam of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, present yourself and your deen in the best of manners, i.e. articulate your thoughts in a holistic manner. Indeed, your Lord is well aware of those who have gone astray from His way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is abundantly aware of those who believe in Him and those who follow Him and those who disregard the commands and ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is well aware of those who are guided. And if you retaliate here, this is a condition, if you retaliate, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, don't just fight people and threaten people and go and kill people or bombard or cause any chaos or destruction in your community. No, when you are attacked, if you retaliate, and when you retaliate, let your retaliation only be to the extent that you are afflicted by. And this is why in the Sharia, when somebody harms you, if you want retaliation, you can only retaliate in an equal manner the way that they hit you. So for example, if somebody slaps you, you can't go and get a baseball bat and then beat the living daylights out of him. The Sharia will not allow that form of retaliation. The way that they smacked you, in the manner and the speed and the force, that is the exact same way that you can only retaliate, not more and not less. This balance, this i'tidal, is very important. So here, the reason why this particular verse is revealed is because the body of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and was completely and utterly mutilated, chopped up into fine pieces, and even the liver was destroyed, and so much bi'adabi was occurred to the actual body of Sayyidina Amiri Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even then you can only react and retaliate in the way that you are attacked. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if you are a patient, it will certainly be best for those who are patient. So even in spite of people harming you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still encouraging the Muslim Ummah to be patient in terms of turmoil, in terms of chaos, in terms of all of these particular scenarios and situations that you may be in. And wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah, and be patient. What else do you have except for the assistance and the help and the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do not be sorrowful over them, and neither distress over what they devise and what they do. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are pious and those people who are doers of good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular ayah is teaching the Muslim Ummah in the battle of Uhud to handle violence with mercy and with patience. Not violence with violence, or one person commits violence and you do something far more severe in response, no, but rather with mercy, with hikmah, and with patience, and to never treat any human being, and especially not even your enemies, in an inhumane manner, even though they mutilated the body of Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still saying that this is not how we treat any of the Bani Adam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Therefore, we are not permitted to mutilate the bodies or to harm the body or destroy the bodies in any particular way. This very core message of even in times of war, to be patient and to persevere and to react with mercy and with hikmah is part and parcel of our identity and how we conduct ourselves. Because our actions will speak far louder than our words. So when you're doing da'wah to people, calling them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way you present yourself, the way that you communicate, the words that you use, the way that you articulate your thoughts and your feelings, and similarly your actions need to be in line with the hikmah and with the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the rank of the blessed uncle of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and furthermore enable us all to understand how to carry ourselves and to represent our deen and the message of our beloved Prophet Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That is the first part. Coming on to another part which I really wanted to discuss, because I know this is going around. So currently the world, we've discussed this previously, we've discussed football, we've discussed other various examples, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةٍ إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٍ. Allah ta'ala gives examples of bees, Allah ta'ala gives examples of ants and various other animals and things in the dunya, and says there is a sign for you in this, there is a lesson for you in this, there's something for you to reflect upon. So even in the things that we see within our surroundings, in our world, there's always lessons for us to extract from those things, and we've discussed lessons from football. We also saw how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used the parable of a palm tree and related that to how a Muslim is. So similarly, we'll discuss today in cricket, which is a very, very big topic at this moment in time. So the world is currently enveloped in entertainment, games and social media, and people generally are fixed and paralyzed to their television screens and to their tablets and to their phones, and constantly finding out kiya, what's happening, what's the score, how many men are down, what's happening, and all of these things, constantly following the progress of players and their teams as if their very existence depended on their result. That's it, you know, it's the end of the world if your team loses, or it's, you know, you're the most happiest man in the world if your team wins, and especially, you know, you've won a war if it's especially between Pakistan and India. So many things are going on in the world because of cricket, but within cricket itself, there's ibrah, there's an ayah for us to reflect and understand as well. So the World Cup can also be compared to our current lives. And inshallah, we'll discuss a few of those things. In cricket, as you know, the batsman, what does batsman do? He does his utmost to protect what? To protect his stumps, to protect his wickets from the bowler. And this is what the objective is of the bowler, to get the guy out. And the objective of the batsman is to defend his wickets and also to score as much as possible. So sometimes you'll have an in-swinger coming from the bowler, sometimes you'll have a bouncer, sometimes you'll have an out-swinger, you'll have a full toss, you'll have a googly, you'll have a yorker, you'll have various types of balls that are thrown in your way. And the batsman needs to be finely tuned and understand what's happening, who the bowler is, how he bowls, what's his style, and what his objectives are. So the batsman has to adjust his strokes and his maneuvers accordingly to not only defend himself and his wicket, but also to make sure that he makes some run along the way and helps his team as well. So with his bat, he strikes the ball in a manner to accumulate the runs without also being caught by the fielders, and also without being bowled out by the bowler as well. In a similar fashion and in a similar manner, in real life, for every single one of us, it's important for us also to safeguard our wickets, to safeguard our stumps. And our stumps and our wickets is our iman, the iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within our hearts. And this is what the shaitan wants to do. He wants to give us various things to catch us off guard, He wants to have an in-swinger, an out-swinger, and put various waswas and all of these thoughts into our heart, so He can get to our heart, and then He can infiltrate our heart and place whatever He wants within our hearts, just like the batsman. So we need to make sure that we understand, just like in cricket, they have the bowler, and they protect their stumps and their wickets. The shaitan is there as well in the dunya, and he is trying every single tactic within the book, within his ability, and also with his minions who are fielding around. He is trying everything to infiltrate into your heart and to get you out, and to get you out of the game, and to get you to lose. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that shaitan says that I will approach them from behind them, from in front of them, from the right and from the left. ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم. This is what I will do. I will attack them from the pavilion, from the other side, from this, from that, with various forms and various deliveries. This is what I will do to get them out and to distract them and to delude them away from their core objective, and that they need to protect their iman, they need to protect their stumps. This is what the promise of the shaitan is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to defend our iman with the Quran, with the sunnah, with the seed of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, with the zikr, and making sure that we have the correct team. This is why at the beginning I mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That fear and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have a team of salihin, have a team of people who are righteous, who are pious. Those team members will protect you and will give you good guidance. Your team members in that cricket team are those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, the truthful people, the people who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these things are important for us to kind of sit down and think, okay, this is what's going on in a game. It seems like just an arbitrary game, but it has so many parallels within our lives as well. And how can we also make sure that we extract these things in and make lessons for our life as well? So in cricket, the bowler, what does he do? He varies his pace, and also he will vary his length and his delivery to do what? To outsmart the batsman. And the shaitan does the exact same thing as well. The first ball presented by the shaitan may come in the form of you neglecting your salah. Oh, you don't need to pray your salah. That's one ball that he, or an arrow he throws your way. The second ball may be an instigation to you towards having a lack of adab, having a vulgar behavior, an abusive behavior, going away from the beautiful seerah and uswa hasana of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The third ball and delivery may be towards suggesting you to be a fraud and to deceive and to lie and to become a fraud in these particular ways. And the fourth one may be an impulse to disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or disobey the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and also disobey your parents and your asatiza and your shuyukh. The fifth ball may be a temptation towards a sin, or temptation towards immortality, that do this and you will live forever, gain this reward and earn this in this particular way, or gamble or do all of these haram things. This may be another delivery. And the sixth ball may be a yorker, it may be a googly, just when you feel like you are on the right path and you've just completed the over and you are safe. That final delivery may be a false sense of pride, that you end up thinking that you are better than anybody else, and all of those people are beneath you, that you are the last man standing, or you've defended all of these balls and you are there and you're stronger than anybody else. That same pride that the shaitan had when he saw Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, that same pride that he had when he failed to bow down and submit to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, even though it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, in the life of a Muslim, you may have this false sense of pride, and he may be filling your ego that you don't need to do this and you don't need to listen to this person, you are better than anybody else. So these are some of the forms, and every single person will have their own bowler with their own delivery and their own challenges. Every person is unique, and the shaitan, he focuses on the big people, but then he sends his minions to focus on all of the other people as well. So you need to make sure that you are aware of all of these tactics. You are aware of the approaches and all of these balls, and you are safeguarding your iman, safeguarding your wicket, and safeguarding the Quran and the Sunnah and the Seerah, and also the Uswa Hasanah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So just like the bowler, the Muslims need to make sure that they are defending their iman and their heart and their wickets, that they are ready to deflect and strike the shaitan and his balls to the best of their abilities with the bat of Islam, with the bat of the beautiful Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And just like any batsman, you need to be very, very quick off your feet. You need to make sure that you are maneuvering, that you are in the right position at the right time with the correct bat, and you never get caught on your back foot. Because if that yorker comes, then you'll be stumped out and you'll not be able to recover back from that particular thing. So just like the World Cup that is currently taking place, man is also playing a match of very, very limited overs. You have 50 overs in a one-day international. We're not paying. And similarly, in our lives as well, who knows who has 50 years? Who knows who has 30 years? Who knows who has 25 years? These are all overs that every single one of us is playing in our lifetime. We just don't know how long we will last, and when we will be overcome, or when we will be bowled out, when we will be caught out by all of these things, when we will see the innings through the beginning, or whether we will be bowled out before the end. Similarly, we don't know when our return will be back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that is through ill health, whether that through accidents and through fatal attacks or anything else. We need to make sure that we remain focused on our objective, which is to do the best that we can whilst we are here in the dunya, and to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to safeguard the most precious treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is the treasure of iman, which is our heart. Because without that treasure, without that coin, without that currency, we will never be able to enter back into the gardens of paradise. So that is the most important thing that we need to do, and need to remember that this innings that we have, there are no, you know, on Xbox and PlayStation, you press reset and you start again. You reset your phone and you start again, you think, let's have another go. But there are no resets. There are no restarts. If it rains and the game is called off, you don't go and you play again. This dunya, this life, this innings that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one innings. And we will not be able to return back to the dunya and play again, or look at the various things that we should have done or that we could have done. So the only runs that count are the runs that you do whilst you are playing in that game, whilst you are playing in that inning. And if when a person is bowled out and they're going back, what do? They shake their head and they think, no, I shouldn't have been bowled out. No, that shouldn't have been an LBW. No, that there's a bad call. I should have done this, or I should have done that. Every single person thinks about what they should or could have done as they are walking back down the pavilion, back to the rest of the team. And this is the reality of us when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will say, oh, our Lord, oh my Lord, send me back. Give me another innings, give me another opportunity so that I may go back and do another single good deed, so that I can give sadaqah and khairat in your way, so that I can remember you and do kasr, tawbah and istighfar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you that second innings, will not give you that second opportunity. So this life and these innings that we have and this game that we are playing in this dunya, we need to make sure that we are doing the best that we can, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the abilities, the tawfiq, the himmah, the taqa, the strength, all of these things to preserve and to protect our iman, to protect our hearts away from all of the attacks of the shaitan. So it's very important for the batsman to stay within his crease. When you're outside of your crease, then it's a very dangerous place. If the ball gets past you, they will stump you out and that's it. And similarly, if it's an LBW outside of your crease, you're more likely to be given out. Staying within your crease is the safe area and the safe zone. And for Muslims as well, staying within the parameters of our Sharia, staying within the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, staying within the ahkamat of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, knowing our limitations, knowing about that which is halal, and knowing all of the things that are haram, and staying within our boundaries, that is the safe place for us. But whenever we exceed these boundaries, go out of our crease area, that is when we will be in the danger zone. And that will be a dangerous place for us and for our deen as well as for our dunya as well. And in this day and age, they have very, very small microphones. within the stumps, and they know whether they have a very, very small clip or not, where the ball has touched very, very finely, maybe just 1 millimeter that the ball has touched the bat or the stumps or the pad, but they tell you on review that this person was given out, or the ball did touch the bat or did not touch the bat. Similarly, everything that we say, everything that we do in the dunya, there is an angel sitting by recording every single thing we utter, every single thing we say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that He does not utter a single word without a ready recorder seated next to Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that there is always an angel waiting, listening out to the faintest of hints of what you have said, what you have whispered to yourself, whether other people can hear it or not. It is all being recorded by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it all will then be reviewed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the evidence, this is what you said to yourself, and this is what you did. So all of these things will be there and presented to us on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the shaitan, he wants us to leave our stumps, he wants us to leave our wickets, he wants us to be unaware, he wants to bowl us out, he wants to take our treasure, he wants to take our iman, he wants to infiltrate our hearts, he wants us to get out of our crease and go outside the boundaries of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And you can be stumped out, you can be caught out, you can be given out in various ways, but it's important that you have a good team. You know, the team leader, the captain of the team are our shuyukh, are our imams, are our leaders, and we need to make sure that we listen to their guidance and their guidelines, and we follow them. Just the way you come to the masjid, you do not precede the imam, you do not go in front of the imam in ruku or sujood, you wait patiently and you go and you follow the footsteps of the imam. Similarly, you need to follow the commands of the captain, and your wicket keeper is your mother. This is your mother, she protects you, she always has your back. Your father is your captain or your shuyukh, and your imams are your captain. Your mother is your wicket keeper, your siblings, and good suhbah. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, good people, those people of righteousness, of piety, are part of your team. And they are the people who constantly remind you. Alladhina yazkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. Those walking and standing and lying down are constantly reminding you about the zikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is our duty to make sure we choose the right team, to make sure that we are with the right players, those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and those people who remind us constantly that there are no resets, there are no second innings, there are no second chances, and we need to make the most of the limited life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here in this dunya, and to do the best that we can within our abilities to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the ahkamat of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to adopt all of the beautiful sunnahs of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولُو الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, that you are commanded to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly, to obey the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly without any reservations, and those people who have been appointed over you, those people of authority, your shuyukh, your imam, your parents, those leaders, you must follow them, i.e. you must follow your captains, you must follow your team members, because they are there protecting you and your innings and your ability to achieve your goal of protecting and preserving your wickets and your iman. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just allow us to enjoy the game of cricket, whether it's Pakistan or India or Bangladesh or any other team, but also to extract these lessons from the game of cricket as well. Just like we discussed the palm tree and how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam compared Muslims to the palm tree, and similarly we've discussed football as well. In every single thing that is around us in the dunya, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٌ إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةٌ, there is an ayah, there is a sign, there is a lesson for us to pay heed to and reflect upon and to transform our lives and ask ourselves, are we being bowled out? Are we wasting our lives? What are we doing, and how would we be returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what will our scorecard say when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and also our children. وَأَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جُزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.